set a date when the time prophecy would end.
Y habló del fin de la profecía que
he said hablando. It would be August 11th, 1840.
Y habló de la fecha de agosto 11, 1840.
Now let's look at this.
Veamos esto.
An hour.
Una hora.
How many hours are in a day?
¿Cuántas horas hay en un día?
Now, what does a day symbolize?
¿Cuánto representa un día?
A year. So we're looking at the 24th part of a year. So 24 divided by 360 days in a year is 15 days.
24 divided by 360 está hablando 15 días.
If you didn't get that, write it down. Go study it again at home, okay?
Póngalo, escríbanlo.
How many days in a year, Jewish year? Or excuse me, how many days in a Jewish month?
¿Cuántos días en un mes de los judíos?
30 days.
30 días, acuérdense.
How many months in a year?
¿Cuántos meses en el año?
12. 12. So 12 times 30 is 360 days, not 365, 360. 24 hours in a day or a year is 24th part of a biblical years, 15 days. You got that? You're all quiet. All right, you got it. A day is a what? Days a year. You all understand that one, right?
Okay.
A month is 30 days or 30
días o 30
years. And then a year is 360 days or 360 years.
All right.
So let's add them up. 360 plus 30 plus 1 right there equals how many years? 391 years and 15 days.
15 días.
Everyone have that?
Okay, lo suman.
Okay. So let's add it up now.
Vamos a sumarlo ahora.
The Ottoman Empire and the Eastern Roman Empire engaged in the Battle of Baphium, July 27, 1299.
La batalla de Baphium fue en julio 27, 1299.
Remember, that was back here.
Yep.
Okay.
Fue ahí.
Add 150 years to that.
Sumen 150 años a esa fecha.
That brings you to?
Nos lleva al año.
July 27, 1449.
Julio 27, 1449.
Right there, you got that?
Ahí está también.
And to this you add 391 years.
Y a eso le sumas 391 años.
It brings you to July 27, 1840.
Nos lleva a julio 27, 1840.
But we need how much left?
Pero ¿cuánto nos falta también?
15 days. So
15 días.
If you count 15 days from July 27, it brings you to?
Sumas 15 y nos lleva a?
August
11th,
1840.
You got that?
Okay. Let me make it very simple for those who are new.
Okay. Más simple para los que son nuevos.
There were people living back then.
Había gente que vivía en ese tiempo.
That were understanding all these time prophecies that we're talking about.
Que entendían lo que estamos hablando ahorita mismo.
Okay, they understood the papacy was the Antichrist.
Entendían que el papado era el Anticristo.
They understood the 1260 year prophecy.
Sabían de la 1200,
they understood the 2300 year prophecy is ending in 1844.
Entendieron la profecía de los 2300 días.
Would open up the judgment.
El principio del juicio.
They understood about the role of Islam.
Entendieron el papel del Islam.
They understood all these things.
Sabían todo esto.
It was called the Great Advent Movement. It was all over the world from 1798 to 1844. And this movement, for those of you who are new, because it is absolutely biblical, can't argue with it, this movement continued and formed, ended up forming the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Okay.
It's the only church that teaches this stuff.
Es la única iglesia que enseña estas cosas.
And these were people from all over the world, all different denominations.
Y era gente de todas las denominaciones en todo el mundo que empezaron a hablar de esto.
That simply came together and built a foundation, a firm platform upon which to stand.
Que se juntaron para tener una buena, una sólida plataforma.
So what happened in 1840?
¿Qué pasó en 1840?
On the 11th of August, 1840, on board a ship, the Turkish leader signed a paper that took away the independence and power of the Turkish Sultan forever. Where then was Turkish supremacy August 11th, 1840? It was gone. Who now held the power? It was the four great powers of Europe. Up until that time, here's a little bit of history for you. Up until that time, they had continued to attack that eastern part of the Roman Empire until the last remains of it were gone and the modern nations ruled. The amazing prophecy was pointed out and written up in the newspapers before August 11, 1840. And when it really happened on time, many people believed that God's word was true. This prophecy gave great power to this Advent movement.
Esta profecía, el cumplimiento, dio gran poder al movimiento.
Now, here's what was taking place.
Esto es lo que pasó en
there
el
was
tiempo.
War with Egypt. Egypt during this time. Turkey and Egypt were fighting a war.
Egipto y Turquía estaban peleando una guerra.
For several years, the Sultan had been embroiled in war with Mehmed Ali, the Pasha of Egypt. In 1838, there was a threatening of war between the Sultan and his Egyptian vassal. Mehmed Ali, Pasha, in a note addressed to the foreign consul, declared that in the future he would pay no tribute to the Porte, and that he considered himself independent sovereign of Egypt, Arabia, and Syria. The Sultan, naturally incensed at this declaration, would have immediately commenced hostilities had he not been restrained by the influence of the foreign ambassadors and persuaded to delay. This war, however, was finally averted by the announcement of Mehmet that he was ready to pay $1 million. So there's this conflict going on, okay?
Conflicto que estaba sucediendo en ese tiempo.
In 1839, hostilities against commenced and were prosecuted until in a general battle between the armies of the Sultan and Mehmet, the Sultan's army was entirely cut up and destroyed, and his fleet taken by Mehmet and carried into Egypt. So completely had the Sultan's fleet been reduced that when hostilities commenced in August, he had only 2 first rates and 3 frigates as the sad remains of the once powerful Turkish fleet. This fleet Mehmet positively refused to give up and return to the Sultan, and declared if the powers attempted to take it from him, he would burn it. In this posture, affairs stood when, in what year? 1840, England, Russia, Austria, and Prussia interposed and determined on a settlement of the difficulty, for it was evident, if left alone, Mehmet would soon become master of the Sultan's throne. Now here's what took place.
Es lo que pasó en ese tiempo.
There was a letter of ultimatum that was handed to the Pasha and to the Sultan. The letter of ultimatum was handed to the Pasha on the exact date of August 11, 1840, which signified the voluntary end of the Ottoman Empire into the hands and control of the four nations. Very interesting. Look at this little sentence. The Sultan became a puppet it just in the same way as the Greek Empire back in 1449. Isn't that interesting? In other words, friends,
in 1449,
at the end of the first woe,
al final del primer ay,
the Greek Empire surrendered its sovereignty.
Imperio griego rindió su soberanía.
In the close of the second woe,
en la segunda parte del
the ay, Ottoman Empire surrendered its sovereignty.
Imperio también rindió su soberanía.
So let's write this down now.
Ahora hay que escribirlo.
391 years
391 años,
and
15 días,
15 days is now the second woe.
Es el segundo ay el que hablamos.
You see this?
¿Ven esto ahí?
You see how it's a little bit different starting and ending times right here?
El tiempo donde empieza y donde termina.
At 391 years and 15 days and 15 days to July 27, 1449, and you come to what?
Sumando esa fe, esos números nos lleva al año agosto 11 de 1840.
August 11, 1840. And the second woe ended.
Y el segundo ay terminó.
Coming from the book Great Controversy.
Viendo del conflicto de los siglos, el libro conflicto.
In the year 1840, another remarkable fulfillment of prophecy excited widespread interest. 2 years before, Josiah Litch, one of the leading ministers preaching the Second Advent, published an exposition of Revelation 9, predicting the fall of the Ottoman Empire. According to his calculations, this power was to be overthrown in AD 1840, sometime in the month of August. And only a few days previous to its accomplishment, he wrote, it will end on the what? The 11th of August, 1840. Now, do you folks understand what kind of an impact this must have made?
¿Saben el impacto que tuvo en la gente cuando se dieron cuenta?
Now, some are new to learning about the Advent movement. Let me explain something here really very quickly.
Quiero explicarles algo a los que apenas
during this time, these people all over the world were predicting that Jesus would come in 1844.
Durante ese tiempo, el mundo estaba predicando que Cristo iba a venir.
Now, obviously, they had that event wrong.
Okay. Obviamente tuvieron el evento, lo, se equivocaron.
The year was correct based on the time prophecy.
El año era correcto basado en la profecía.
But Jesus didn't come in 1844. We know that was wrong.
Pero Cristo no vino en 1844.
What happened in 1844, we learned?
¿Qué pasó en 1844?
It was a cleansing of the sanctuary.
Era la limpieza del santuario.
When Jesus begins to blot out sin, the opening of the judgment.
Empezar a borrar los pecados.
Okay.
En el santuario celestial.
But just imagine with me.
Pero imagínense conmigo.
That here are a group of people.
Que hay un grupo de personas
that are preaching that the judgment is at hand.
que están predicando el juicio que está ya aquí cerca.
And in 1844, this great event's going to happen.
Y que en 1844 este gran evento va a pasar.
And people think you're crazy.
Y la gente va a decir, estás loco.
Think you're a nut.
Estás loco.
And now,
y ahora,
one of the preachers,
uno de los predicadores,
makes another prediction.
Hace otra predicción.
He says, well, based on another time prophecy,
basado en otra profecía de tiempo,
the Ottoman Empire,
el poder otomano,
one of the most powerful empires of the world back then,
uno de los poderes más poderosos de la tierra en ese tiempo,
it's going to come down.
Va a colapsarse.
On August 11th, 1840.
On August 11th, 1840.
Think about that.
Piénsalo.
Let me give you an idea of what that must have been like.
Déjeme dar una idea de lo que pasó, de lo
what's,
que hubiera
what's,
sido.
What's the date today? It's March 12th.
Marzo 12.
The earthquake in Japan, that was what, yesterday? It was early morning, right?
Terremoto en Japón, ¿cuándo fue? Viernes.
Friday, well, I think it was actually Saturday. It was actually, was it Friday?
Friday.
It was Thursday.
Our time, but Friday morning over there, right? Okay. So that was the 11th, March 11th in Japan. Now, I want to give you an idea of what that must have been like, okay? Can you imagine if during the week of prayer that we were having during here, you know, we were having a week of prophecy seminar, and I said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, today's Wednesday.
Hoy es miércoles.
In 2 days.
Y dos días más.
There's going to be an 8.9 earthquake that's going to hit Japan, and a tidal wave is going to wipe it out.
Va a haber un terremoto de 8.9 en Japón y una ola va a pasar por Japón.
You probably look at me like I was crazy, right?
Quizás me ibas a decir que estaba loco.
But what would you think? And then you woke up, and it happened.
Pero qué pasaría si tú.
But I had said it first.
Y si yo lo hubiera dicho antes, que lo hubieras visto pasar.
Pastor Richards is a prophet.
Right? Un profeta.
I'm not a prophet.
No soy profeta.
And we don't have any more time prophecy anymore.
Y no tenemos más profecía de tiempo.
But that probably would have caught your attention.
Pero
right?
Probablemente se hubiera agarrado tu atención.
And I bet you anything, the DVDs would have been passed all around the world, right?
Yo estoy seguro que los DVDs.
Pastor Richards predicted the Japanese earthquake and the tsunami, right? And you know what would be? You know what would have happened on Sabbath?
¿Saben qué hubiera pasado el sábado?
This place would have been packed.
No hubiera cabido aquí la gente.
Right?
Si lo hubieran pasado eso.
Let's go hear the preacher that can predict earthquakes.
Vamos a escuchar al predicador.
And that's the same type of effect.
Es el mismo efecto
that this prediction had.
Que esta predicción tuvo también.
When this happened,
cuando esto pasó,
when the Ottoman Empire fell,
cuando el poder otomano cayó,
August 11, 1840,
Agosto 11, 1840,
and it was published in the newspapers ahead of time.
Y fue publicado en los periódicos antes.
They said, oh, these Adventists, they're crazy, they're fanatics.
Que estos adventistas fanáticos están locos.
But then when that empire came down,
pero cuando eso pasó, que cayó,
they took a second look.
Se dieron cuenta y dijeron,
they said, man, these Adventists have it right.
Dijeron, estos adventistas están en lo correcto.
Boy, these, and friends,
y amigos,
this gave power to the Advent movement
esto les dio
like
poder
nothing else.
Al movimiento en ese entonces.
Matter of fact, the Adventist
hecho,
pioneers
los pioneros
del believed that at that time, in what Scripture tells us,
creyeron en lo que la Biblia nos dice,
at the end of Revelation chapter 9, you have Revelation chapter 10, verse 1.
Al final de Apocalipsis 9 tenemos el capítulo 10.
And it says that a mighty angel comes down from heaven with a little book open in his hand.
Que viene un ángel del cielo que baja con un libro abierto.
In other words, the mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10,
y en otras palabras, el ángel poderoso de Apocalipsis 10,
came down with a message of power, a message of prophecy,
vino con un mensaje de poder, de profecía,
on August 11, 1840.
On Agosto 11, 1840.
And we're going to find out that another angel comes down later on. We'll find that out later on. There it is, the 1850 chart.
Ahí está la gráfica de 1850.
There's the Islam again.
El papel del Islam.
At the very time specified, Turkey, through her ambassadors, accepted the protection of the Allied powers of Europe and thus placed herself under the control of Christian nations. The event exactly fulfilled the prediction. When it became known, multitudes were convinced of the correctness of the principles of prophetic interpretation adopted by Miller and his associates, and a wonderful impetus was given to the Advent movement. Men of learning and position united with William Miller, both in preaching and in publishing his views, and from 1840 to 1844, the work rapidly extended. We're told that it went to every missionary station in the world.
Se nos dice que fue a toda nación en la tierra.
Friends, we're almost done with this lecture right here.
Ya que terminamos esta clase.
I want to say something before we end this lecture right now.
Quiero decir algo antes de terminar esta clase.
You know, I had asked you what you would think if I predicted an earthquake.
¿Qué ¿Qué sentirían si, si dijera que puedo predecir un terremoto?
You know that Seventh-day Adventists have been given a wonderful gift.
¿Saben que los adventistas se les ha dado un gran regalo de Dios?
I'm just going to take just a moment before we close, explain something.
Solamente una cosa.
This is especially for those who are new.
Para los que son nuevos.
I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 12 very quickly.
Vamos a Apocalipsis 12.
We looked at the identifying characteristics of God's church earlier this week.
Hablamos de las características que describen a la iglesia de Dios esta semana.
But I did not quite explain this last part.
Pero no expliqué bien esa última parte.
And I want to simply give just a few brief words for those who are new.
Y quiero dar unas palabras cortas antes de terminar.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Notice what the Bible says.
Apocalipsis 12, versículo 17. Vean.
We're almost done with this lecture, so if you're there, let me know by saying amen.
Ya casi terminamos.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. And they have something else.
¿Y tienen qué más ahí al final?
They have the what?
Testimony.
The testimony of Jesus Christ.
De Jesucristo, dice.
Listen,
escuchen.
Especially for those who are new.
Para los que son nuevos en esto.
Right? Who's the dragon in this context? The dragon represents several different things, but right here primarily we're dealing with Satan, okay?
Se está refiriendo a Satanás específicamente.
And just Satan works through different types of powers, different types of kingdoms and rulers and governors.
Satanás trabaja por diferentes maneras.
But when you look at verse 9, it says the dragon is the old serpent called the devil and Satan. So we're just going to look at that as a primary application right now. Okay, so the dragon or Satan is angry with who?
Satanás está enojado con quién?
The woman. Who's the woman?
La mujer, ¿quién es?
The church.
La iglesia.
And goes to make war with the remnant, those that remain from this church, and they do two things, or have two things.
Estas personas tienen dos cosas aquí.
Number one, they keep the what?
Guardan.
The commandments of God. How many commandments?
¿Cuántos mandamientos?
Maybe eight.
Eight
commandments. And therefore we can still bow down to idols, right? Nine. Nine commandments.
Ten.
They keep all ten commandments, including the Sabbath. But they also have the gift that's called the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation chapter
19.
Now, we're going for those who have not understood this before. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10.
Apocalipsis 19, versículo 10, para entender esto.
Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. Let's notice what the Bible says.
Vean lo que la Biblia dice.
Are we all there together, friends? Amen?
Amen.
¿Están ahí?
And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he, an angel, said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the what?
¿Tienen qué?
Testimony of Jesus.
De Jesucristo.
Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. So notice, God's church has to have two things. Has to keep all ten commandments, but also has to have the gift of the spirit of prophecy. Now what I'm about to share, I really don't know why so many Christians have a problem with it.
Yo no sé por qué la gente tiene un gran problema con esto.
Because you go to the Pentecostal church,
porque vas a la iglesia pentecostal,
and they believe that anybody can prophesy.
Y ellos creen que todos pueden profetizar.
You can just have to get the prophecy to stand up and just speak in tongues and just prophesy.
De poder hablar en profecía a través de lenguas y todo eso.
And yet when we deal with people that have actually predicted real things, people have a problem with it for some reason.
Y tenemos problema con la gente que puede profetizar cosas en el futuro y la gente no cree eso.
How many of you believe that the gift of prophecy is for the Christian church?
¿Cuántos creen que el regalo de profecía es de la iglesia, para la iglesia que Dios dio?
Will the Christian church have the gift of prophecy in it?
¿Ustedes creen que la iglesia tendría el don de profecía?
You don't seem convinced. Go to the book of Ephesians.
Vamos al libro de Efesios para ver esto.
Some of you don't believe that we're supposed to have the gift of prophecy.
Muchos no creen que tenemos que tener el don de la profecía.
Ephesians chapter 4.
Efesios capítulo 4.
Notice what the Bible says.
Vamos a ver qué la Biblia dice.
That Jesus gave to the church.
Lo que Cristo dio a la iglesia.
Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Let's notice what the Bible says.
4:8.
Ephesians 4, actually pick it up in verse 7, excuse me.
De hecho, empieza en el 7.
When you're there, are we all there? Amen? Ephesians 4, 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, who's that he?
¿Quién es el que tu...
Christ, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, are we all there? It says, and he, Jesus, gave some to be what?
Apostles.
And some what? Prophets. And some what? Evangelists. And some pastors and teachers. Now, how many of you believe that the Christian church still needs teachers? Do we need teachers in the church?
Yes.
Do we need pastors in the church? Do we need evangelists in the church? Do we need apostles, people to go forward in the name of Christ to raise up work? So then, do we also need prophets? Yes. How long would the gift of prophecy be in the church?
¿Cuánto tiempo duraría el regalo de la
profecía? Verse 12 and 13.
Versículo 12 y 13.
These gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Is the church perfect yet?
No. ¿Es la iglesia perfecta ahora?
That means that prophecy is still needed to help to perfect the church. Matter of fact, notice how long the church would have the testimony of Christ in it.
Vean cuánto tiempo duraría ese don en la iglesia.
Go to 1 Corinthians,
en Primera de Corintios,
chapter 1.
Capítulo 1.
Notice the testimony of Christ would be confirmed in the early church.
Vean que el testimonio se iba a confirmar en la, en la
and would last all the way to the coming of Jesus.
Y iba a durar hasta el fin de la venida de Cristo.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 7.
Primera de Corintios, capítulo 1, versículo del
4. Wow, this is our last part of this lecture. So let's go there. Are we all there? Amen?
Es la última parte. Ya estamos
1 Corinthians 4, excuse me, 1, 4 through 7. I thank my God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1.
Primera de Corintios 4.
No, chapter 1.
Capítulo 1, versículo 4 al 7.
I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all what? Utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed. Wait a minute. What is the testimony of Christ? The spirit of prophecy. So was the spirit of prophecy in the early church? Yes. How long would it last? Verse 7. So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus would be in the church until the coming of Jesus. And what's interesting is that in the early church, the apostolic church, there were men and there were also women that prophesied. How many of you remember Philip's four daughters that prophesied in the book of Acts? Remember that? Men prophets?
Hombres profetas,
female prophets.
Y profetizas.
Were there female prophets in the Bible in the Old Testament?
Había mujeres profetas del pasado.
You have Deborah, Huldah, Miriam, Anna during the time of Christ. Let's notice what the book of Joel says. The book
Vamos
of
al libro de Joel también.
The book of Joel.
Joel.
Daniel.
Daniel,
Hosea, and then Joel.
Y después Joel.
Let's notice what would take place during this great Advent movement. Joel chapter 2.
Joel, capítulo 2.
You remember we talked about the signs in the heavens, the dark day, the bloody moon, the falling of the stars? These things have already taken place.
Todo esto ya pasó también el pasado.
And the last of these signs in the heavens, the falling of the stars,
y la última señal de la caída de estrellas,
took place just when all these people around the world were preaching about these prophecies.
Tomó lugar cuando precisamente estaban predicando la venida de Cristo.
November 13th, 1833.
Noviembre 13, 1833.
The same time that a man named William Miller had received his license to preach.
El mismo tiempo cuando William Miller recibió sus credenciales para predicar.
Joel chapter 2, let's notice what the Bible says in verse 28.
Joel capítulo 2, versículo 8.
Are we all there? Amen. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters, verse 28, Joel 2, verse 28.
Oh, versículo 28.
Joel 2, 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders where? In the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. This happened during the Advent movement, brothers and sisters.
Que leemos pasó durante el movimiento adventista.
So during this movement, who would prophesy?
Este tiempo, ¿quién profetizaría?
Sons,
hijos,
and daughters.
E hijas también.
And you look at history.
Y vean la historia,
and there were several men, at least two that I know of, Hazen Foss and also William E. Foy, that had prophesied during this time. And there was also a little girl, not a little girl, but a young lady, who began to prophesy as well.
Hubo varias personas que empezaron a profetizar, y uno también de ellas era una mujer que también lo hizo.
Her name was Ellen White.
Su nombre era Elena G. de White.
Does anyone know her, ever heard of her name?
¿Han escuchado de esta mujer?
Anyone ever read the book Desire of Ages?
¿Algunos han leído El Conflicto de los Siglos?
Did you know that the this is especially for those who are new.
Especialmente para los que son
Did you know that the librarian of the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C.
¿Saben que la librería del Congreso en Washington, D.C.
said that the best book ever written on the life of Christ was Desire of Ages by Ellen White?
Fue el deseado de todas las gentes por Elena G. de White, el mejor libro.
Did you know that the United States government,
¿saben que el gobierno de Estados Unidos,
several years ago, look at the book she wrote called Education,
vio los libros que se llama, uno se llama Educación,
and said it was at least 50 years ahead of its time,
que estaba 50 años adelante de su tiempo.
Back in those days and times, in the 1800s and early 1900s,
en esos tiempos de los 1800s, principios de 1900,
doctors prescribed cigarettes for bronchitis,
decían que podían fumar para la bronquitis,
and heavy drugs for medications,
y drogas fuertes para, como medicación.
Which hasn't changed, by the way.
Que no ha cambiado, ustedes saben.
And she said that drugs were a poison to the system.
Y ella dijo que era un veneno para el sistema.
And that tobacco was a slow, insidious poison.
Y dijo que el tabaco era un veneno insidioso.
Did you also know
y también sabe
that Ellen White,
que Elena G. de White
predicted the events of September 11, 2001?
Predijo los eventos de septiembre 11 del 2001.
And we're going to read that in our next lecture.
Y lo vamos a leer en la próxima lectura que
she
vamos
said,
a tener.
I was in New York. I saw New York.
Dice, vi en Nueva York.
Great buildings rising story after story.
Grandes edificios se levantaron.
And they were consumed as if made a pitch.
Fueron consumidos como si fueran de papel.
Now I'm saying all this for a reason.
Y lo digo por una razón.
For those who are new,
para aquellos que son nuevos,
but also for those of you who aren't,
pero también para los que no son,
for a specific purpose.
Por una razón específica.
And I told you,
yo ya les dije,
that you might open your eyes real wide,
que tienes que abrir tus ojos rápido, grandes,
if I could predict an earthquake.
Si yo puedo predecir un terremoto, tú lo harías, se abriría los ojos.
Volume 9 of the testimonies.
Volumen 9 de los testimonios. Sea, esa es la cita.
While in Loma Linda.
Mientras estaba en Loma Linda.
In the night season.
En la noche.
Buildings were shaken.
Los edificios
like
temblaban.
A reed in the wind.
Como una vara en el aire.
Pleasure resorts, theaters, and the homes of the wealthy were shaken and shattered.
Las casas y los teatros, todo fue derrumbado.
You know, while she was in New York,
cuando estaba en Nueva York,
looking at buildings in New York,
viendo a los edificios en Nueva York,
saw a vision of buildings coming down. What buildings do you think they were? Buildings in New Orleans, right?
¿Qué edificio se refiere a eso?
What do you think the buildings were that she talked about?
¿Qué edificios estamos hablando?
She was in New York.
Estaba en Nueva York.
The buildings were in New York.
Y los edificios estaban en Nueva York.
In Loma Linda,
en Loma Linda,
she had a vision of an earthquake.
Ella tuvo la visión de un terremoto.
Where do you think that that vision was dealing with?
¿Qué visión creen que estaba ella tratando?
Some people think it was the earthquake of 1906 in San Francisco.
Muchos piensan que es el terremoto del
Later on, she was asked about this. Said, sister, didn't you predict the earthquake in San Francisco?
Muchos creen del terremoto de San Francisco.
She said, no, but I do believe that those events will be repeated. Dice, in San Francisco and Oakland. He was dealing with Southern California, brothers
ella,
and sisters.
Cuando habla de eso, de Loma Linda, habla de el sur de California.
So, based upon what I believe is the more sure word of prophecy,
basado en la profecía, en la palabra profética,
I'm not going to predict an earthquake in Japan.
No puedo predecir el terremoto de Japón, yo no lo pude predecir.
But I predict that this area is going to be hit by an earthquake.
Pero puedo predecir que esa tierra va a ser sacudida por un terremoto.
And if you don't believe me,
y si no me crees,
then we'll just wait a little while.
Vamos a esperar un rato.
But I hope that we make preparation before that time.
Espero que hagas preparaciones para ese tiempo.
Let's move on and close out.
Vamos a terminar con esto.
You know, I was just talking to my brother, matter of fact, outside during our lunch break.
Estaba hablando con mi hermano aquí afuera.
Anyone noticing where the earthquakes are right now?
¿Saben dónde están los terremotos ahorita?
They're in the rim of they're along the Pacific Rim.
Están alrededor del círculo del Pacífico.
It's a tectonic plate. You know what a tectonic plates are?
Placa tectónica, las que se mueven debajo de la...
Japan, New Zealand. You want to know what's on that same tectonic plate? Los Angeles.
También Los Ángeles está dentro de esa placa.
That's right, brothers and sisters. Anyone remember just even earlier this year, last year, all these earthquakes, even right here in Tijuana and down here in Mexico as well?
Esos terremotos que pararon en México también.
You think that God, you know, brothers and sisters, I believe that God is simply just trying to wake up His people that are here.
Lo que Dios está haciendo, está
let me just shake everything all around them and see if they'll wake up.
Vamos a sacudir para que se despierten.
And brothers and sisters, if you're not being shaken awake, you're about to be shaken and dead.
Si no se despiertan por
la... I'm not playing around. I'm not trying to be scary, brothers and sisters, but we are living in serious times.
Estamos viendo en tiempos serios.
And we were told 100 years ago to get out of the cities. The floods will come. The fires will come. The earthquakes will come. Get out, especially if you have children, brothers and sisters. Because before your children die through a natural disaster, your children will spiritually die by beholding all of this filthy sin.
Porque antes de que mueran por una cosa de la naturaleza, van a morir por toda la...
And let me say this. If there's any city on the face of planet Earth that deserves to be hit with the judgments of God, it's LA and Hollywood.
Es Los Ángeles y Hollywood.
Because the filthy, disgusting junk that's being vomited out of Hollywood is polluting the minds of people, not just in America, but all over the world.
Está contaminando la mente del mundo entero.
I go to Central America, I go to South America, and I preach. I know some of my brothers have been to Cook Islands and Africa and in Jamaica. No matter where you go,
no importa dónde vayas,
you see people that eat and live and dress like filthy Americans.
Ves a gente que vive, come y hace todo igual que América.
Poor as dirt.
Basura.
No. Poor as dirt, brothers. I'm not calling them garbage. Poor as dirt.
Pobre.
They're poor. Poor.
Oh, pobres. Como la tierra, sin nada.
They can't afford things to eat.
No pueden comprar cosas para comer.
And they make sure to get those tight pants and makeup.
Pero se aseguran tener
la... And they make sure to get that TV.
De tener la televisión.
I have been out in the deserts of Peru, brothers and sisters.
En los desiertos del Perú también.
Where people live in mud brick houses.
Que viven en casas de lodo.
No running water.
Ni agua.
And they got TVs out there.
Pero tienen televisión.
And what do you think they're watching?
¿Qué creen que ven?
They're watching American movies translated to Spanish.
Ven películas americanas traducidas a español.
You don't believe me, brothers and sisters?
¿No me creen?
You watch and you see what happens to Hollywood.
Vean lo que va a pasar con Hollywood.
Don't you know that Hollywood's full of witchcraft, by the
¿No
way?
¿Saben que Hollywood está lleno de hechicería?
You know, it was named Hollywood for a purpose.
¿Saben que fue nombrado Hollywood por una razón?
Has anyone ever heard of Harry Potter?
¿Saben ustedes de Harry Potter?
Yes. Anyone ever heard of Harry Potter?
Yes.
You know, we got people in churches now dressing up, you know, oh, it's so cute to dress up our children like Harry Potter on Halloween. This is a demonic, satanic day. Why dress your children up like demons? Oh, my Christian child looks so beautiful like the devil. With his little red horns. You want your children to go to hell? Brothers and sisters, wake up.
Amen.
That was the ancient Druid feast of Samhain. And every Halloween, there are human sacrifices that are made, brothers and sisters. Where do you think children are being kidnapped and taken to around that time? And you got your children dressed up and trick-or-treating in these sick neighborhoods.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need to wake up.
Vamos a despertar.
If you're going to give anything to somebody, don't give them candy, give them a Bible tract.
Si le vas a dar
and tell them about Jesus.
Dale,
and tell them these things are evil.
Dile que esas son cosas del diablo.
Harry Potter has a magic wand.
Tiene una varita mágica.
And he casts spells.
Y hace hechizos.
And in witchcraft,
y en la brujería,
you have sacred woods.
Tienes, varas sagradas.
Does anyone know what the third most sacred wood is in witchcraft?
¿Saben cuál es la
it's
la vara
holly.
Más sagrada? is Holly.
My mother's name was Holly.
El nombre de mi mamá se llama
my great-grandfather Holly. Was a high-ranking Freemason.
Mi abuelo
and my mother was also a practicing witch.
Mi mamá
interesting.
Era una bruja también.
Harry Potter cast spells with a stick made out of holly or holly wood.
Harry Potter hace los hechizos con esa vara de Hollywood.
Is Hollywood casting spells on you?
Amen.
Esa vara Hollywood está echando hechicerías.
Are you listening to the false prophets of entertainment?
¿Estás escuchando los falsos profetas?
While they on the television, while they television to you, brothers and sisters.
Cuando están en la tele.
Don't you know what television is called? It's called channeling. Yeah. You go to the channels. It's channeling, brothers and sisters. It's witchcraft.
La televisión es brujería también.
You know what you control with the TV with? It's called remote control. You're being controlled, brothers and sisters, remotely by your masters.
Por tus maestros.
Remote control, programming, channeling, television, brothers and sisters.
Todo eso.
Turn that garbage off.
Apáguenlo.
Go out to nature.
Vayan a la naturaleza.
Go breathe the. I don't know what to breathe out here, but you got to go far away, brother, just to breathe some fresh air. Have mercy. Go look at it. Go look at a tree. Get your mind on nature so that you can concentrate on the Word of God. Amen. Friends, let's wrap this up. When the people were preaching these prophecies,
la gente predicó esto,
said those who are proclaiming the second advent of the Turkish power ceases in 1840, that may be considered a sign that the correct interpretation has been placed upon the prophetic periods of Daniel, and we may look for the Lord in 1844. It was at this time, in what year? 1840, that the voice of the mighty angel awoke the earth with the message, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. This was a message from the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the sea and all living creatures, and He swore that there should be time no longer. The close of the long prophetic period was near at hand. And so friends, as we look at the end of this lecture, I want to close out because we have one more lecture to go. I want to take a little break.
Islam
was used by God to help the Protestant Reformation. It is fascinating to learn that the Ottoman Turks in particular were a great aid to the Protestant Reformation. When Turks were invading Europe, King Charles V of Spain was the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. This was the Roman Catholic political empire of the Middle Ages. Protestantism had risen in 1517, and thousands of people had left the mother church to become Protestants. Charles V, being a devout Roman Catholic, was fervently persuaded by his church not only to oppose the Protestant faith, but to destroy it. But whenever he advanced to attack the Protestants, so often tidings would come that the Turks were on the attack, and Charles would be forced to turn away from the Protestants and march against the Turks. Did you get that? Islam was fighting against the armies of Rome.
El Islam luchó contra las fuerzas de Roma.
History is very clear.
La historia es clara.
That had it not been for the Turks,
que si no hubiera sido por los turcos,
Protestantism would never have survived.
El protestantismo no hubiera sobrevivido.
From the decline and fall of the Ottoman Empire, the history of Islam, in the 16th and 17th centuries, support and encouragement for Protestants and Calvinists was one of the fundamental principles of the Ottoman policy.
Okay.
There would have been, Kenneth Oster, Islam Reconsidered, quoted by Mervyn Maxwell in God Cares, there would have been no Protestantism had there been no Turk.
No hubiera habido protestantismo si no hubieran estado los turcos.
I want to close out now. This is our final our final quotation. A dark and threatening day had come for the Reformation. Notwithstanding the Edict of Worms declaring Luther to be an outlaw and forbidding the teaching or belief of his doctrines, religious toleration had thus far prevailed in the empire. God's providence had held in check the forces that opposed the truth. What was his providence? Charles V was bent on crushing the Reformation. But often as he raised his hand to strike, he had been forced to turn aside the blow. Why?
¿Por qué?
Again and again, the immediate destruction of all who dared to oppose themselves to Rome appeared inevitable. But at the critical moment, the armies of the Turk appeared on the eastern frontier. With the King of France or even the Pope himself, jealous of the increasing greatness of the Emperor, made war upon him. And thus, amid the strife and tumult of nations, the Reformation had been left to strengthen and to extend. Let me wrap it up so you can explain this very simply. That every time the Catholic Church
cada vez que la Iglesia Católica
would try to destroy the Christian or Protestant Reformation,
trató de aplastar la Reforma Protestante,
God raised up the Islamic Turks to hold them in check.
Dios levantó a los turcos para parar la persecución.
And then finally Constantinople fell. On April 6, 1453, Muhammad II assembled 258,000 men to commence the attack. Using cannons, gunpowder, the city was taken on the 29th of May, 1453. Constantinople had fallen, and thus we have now the attacks on the Roman Catholic Church in Rome. So there are some pictures right there, the fall of Constantinople.
Las fotos de la caída de Constantinopla.
And yet the rest of the men, which are not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of silver and gold and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Brothers and sisters, as we now wrap up,
hermanos, ahora ya terminar,
did you understand that part?
¿Entendieron esa parte?
That Islam,
que el Islam
was used to fight with the armies of Rome,
usado para pelear contra las fuerzas de Roma,
just as Rome was trying to crush the movement of that time.
Porque Roma trataba de tirar.
Did you catch that point?
Yes.
Was the Lord behind the Protestant Reformation?
Yes.
¿Fue Dios atrás del movimiento de la Reforma? ¿Estaba atrás de eso?
Yes.
Lo respaldó, claro.
That's why we have the King James Bible. That's why we call ourselves Christians. We have freedom. Do you think that Satan was trying to crush the Reformation?
¿Creen que Satanás quería aplastar la Reforma?
Who did Satan use to try to kill the Reformation?
¿A quién se usó Satanás para aplastar la Reforma?
The Catholic Church.
Al Papado.
Who did God use to protect this movement?
¿A quién usó Dios para proteger este movimiento?
In other words, friends,
en otras palabras,
whenever you see Islam,
en otras palabras, cuando vean a
you
Islam,
see this sealing work, you see a special message going forward. You see a special work of God going forward. And Satan tries to use the papacy to destroy it. And God uses Islam to check it, to fight the armies of Rome. You know what that means? That means today, is Islam once again an issue in the world?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Sí o no?
Yes.
According to the Bible,
de acuerdo a la Biblia,
who's the one that controls and puts a check and restrains Islam and allows them to do what they do?
¿Quién le pone la restricción al Islam y todo lo que hace?
Specifically Christ, the voice from the four horns, right?
Lo que vimos.
Yes or no?
Sí o no?
Yes. Jesus is the one who restrains Islam, looses Islam, right?
Right.
Le quita las vendas al Islam, se las pone.
Why does the Lord allow Islam to be loose for a little time?
¿Por qué lo dejó que estuviera suelto por un tiempo?
Fight with the armies of Rome and to protect the people of God.
Proteger al pueblo de Dios.
You know what that means, friends?
¿Saben lo que eso es?
The fact that you see Islam today in history,
el hecho que tú ves al Islam ahora en la historia,
fighting with the armies of Rome,
peleando con las fuerzas de Roma,
shows you something.
Te enseña algo.
It shows you that the papacy had intentions to crush out the movement of God.
Significa que el papado tiene intenciones de aplastar el movimiento de Dios.
You understand this?
¿Saben eso?
The papacy has had intentions to persecute the people of God, Sabbath keepers. The fact that on September
11, 2001,
you see an issue begin to take place with Islam all over the world, shows you that the papacy was about to begin persecution on Sabbath keepers. And that God has been holding these things back for one purpose.
Y que Dios está guardando, reteniendo esto por un propósito.
Only one purpose.
Uno solo, uno.
Our closing scripture.
Nuestra última escritura.
Revelation chapter 7.
Apocalipsis capítulo 7.
Friend, do you understand the implications here?
Amen.
¿Entienden lo que esto significa?
Sleep on, O children.
Sigan durmiendo.
Revelation chapter 7, the Bible says this.
Apocalipsis capítulo 7.
We better open our eyes and wake up, amen?
Yeah.
Mejor que se despierten.
Revelation 7, there's one purpose.
Hay una sola razón.
Why the winds of strife and war and bloodshed are being held back.
¿Por qué están siendo retenidos esos vientos de guerra y persecución?
It's Revelation chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. And when you're there, say amen.
7, versículo 1, empezando de ahí.
And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Same symbolism of Revelation 9:4. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Isn't that interesting? The sealing message comes out of the east. Having this... Wait a minute, who are the children of the east?
¿Quiénes son los hijos del este, del oriente?
So you mean to tell me when you see the children of the east, you know that you're in a sealing time?
Cuando veas a los hijos del oriente, estamos en el tiempo del sellamiento.
And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, verse 3,
versículo 3,
hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have done something, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Friends,
amigo,
God is holding back the winds of strife.
Dios está reteniendo los vientos
for one purpose.
Por un propósito.
It is to seal the people of God, to seal the 144,000.
Es sellar a los 144,000 del pueblo de Dios.
And based on prophecy,
basado en la profecía,
since September 11, 2001,
desde 2001, septiembre 11,
the sealing work has been going on.
El proceso de sellamiento ha empezado.
We'll talk more about that in our next lecture.
Y vamos a hablar de eso en la próxima clase que tenemos.
Is it starting to make sense, brothers and sisters? We first started our lecture.
Empezamos nuestras primeras lecciones.
You remember what we read?
¿Se acuerdan lo que leímos?
All men's hands would join together against Ishmael.
Dice que todos los hombres se van a juntar contra Ismael. Todas
the
las manos,
world brazos. Is going to come together.
El mundo va a juntarse.
A new world order is going to, there's going to be an attempt to form a one world government.
El nuevo orden mundial se va a unir.
Because of Ishmael.
Por la razón de Ismael,
because of Islam.
Por el Islam.
But brothers and sisters,
y hermanos y hermanas,
right now is
ahora,
right now is our time of visitation.
Ahora es el tiempo de nuestra visitación.
Let's get it together.
Amen.
Vamos a ponernos bien con Dios.
Let's pray.
Vamos a orar.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the more sure word of prophecy. It is clear. It is so clear the role of Islam in prophecy and also showing our day and time. In the very beginning, when our Lord Jesus Christ raised up this power
el Señor Jesús este poder,
for the purpose of scourging Rome,
por el propósito de azotar a Roma papal,
there was a restraint placed upon this Islamic power.
Hubo una restricción que se le puso a este poder islámico,
and they were commanded
y fueron mandados,
to not touch those with the seal of God.
Que no tocaran a los hijos, a los sellados de Dios.
In the second woe,
en el segundo ay,
there was also a command to loose them for a time.
También hubo un mandato de dejarlos libres, sueltos.
Father in heaven, we see a worldwide issue with Islam today.
Dios, vemos ese mismo problema en el mundo hoy.
And it's not getting better, it's getting worse.
No se está mejorando, está empeorando.
And this world, Lord, this world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis.
Y este mundo está en la entrada de eventos catastróficos.
And I personally want to ask your forgiveness for not being ready. Father, I ask and pray that you would please help me. Help my own personal family. Help us, please, to do everything in our human power to prepare for these things and for the coming of Christ. And Lord, as our human power is spent,
Señor, que nuestra fuerza se gaste,
as we do everything that we can possibly do,
al hacer lo que podamos hacer,
we ask and pray that Christ would come in our lives and give us power and make it perfect.
Te pedimos que Cristo venga en nuestras vidas para hacernos perfectos.
And we pray that his works of righteousness would be manifest in our lives.
Te pedimos que sus obras de justicia se manifiesten en nuestras vidas.
Father, my prayer is that Christ, please, may Christ be formed within our lives.
Te pido que Cristo sea formado en nosotros.
Who is the hope of glory.
Quien es la esperanza de gloria.
Lord, please hold back the winds of strife a little longer.
Por favor, Padre, guarda los vientos para que nos soplen.
Not because we are worthy.
No porque seamos, Padre, no lo merezcamos.
But we ask you to have mercy on us.
Pero ten misericordia.
Because we have neglected our preparation time.
Porque hemos sido negligentes en prepararnos.
And because you're a merciful God, I pray that you'll hold back the winds a little longer, Lord.
Padre, porque tú eres misericordioso.
So that us as a people may be better physically prepared,
para que podamos estar físicamente mejor,
but that we also may be better and completely, by your grace, spiritually prepared.
Para que estemos preparados bien espiritualmente.
Father, we thank you for your kindness, we thank you for your love,
te damos gracias por tu amor, por tu misericordia.
And we pray that you would bless and be with us as we prepare for our final lecture.
Que nos ayudes, nos prepares para la última lección.
And discuss the events of September 11th.
Al discutir los eventos de septiembre 11.
In Jesus' name we pray.
En nombre de Jesús te damos gracias.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Want to make an announcement, brother, and give a little break.